This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chris is in for Carl today. One of our favorite guests, Armando Salguero, who has the pulse of South Florida and the rest of the NFL. Armando, how you been, man?
Man, you roll those R's like a professional.
that's right, my friend. Hey, man, we've been, and as a former Dolphins season ticket holder, I feel qualified to speak on this. I don't like their business model with all the money and the wide receivers, and then Cincinnati basically does the same thing. Can you have success in the NFL with that business model?
So the Bengals, for example, they had seven games last year where they scored 32 points or more. So that's good. That's really good, right? They had a nearly 5,000-yard passer. That passer threw 43 touchdown passes, Joe Burrow. And in those games where they scored a bunch of points and they threw for a bunch of yards and their wide receivers went off like the Dickens, they were 3-4. So it tells you that they are certainly going to be productive on offense. They certainly are going to be exciting. But are they certainly going to turn that into championships? They haven't. They just haven't. And, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles showed that you got to have a complete team to win a Super Bowl. And the Cincinnati Bengals don't have a defense.
All right, Armando, we have the daily Kirk Cousins drama here in Atlanta. Do you foresee any team getting desperate enough to actually make a trade for him?
Absolutely. The problem is, are the Falcons, it takes two to tango. And I raise my hand and I admit that when the Falcons at the combine made the point that we're good with Kirk Cousins as our backup, I kind of like, yeah, right, sure. That makes a lot of sense. $27.5 million base salary as a backup. I don't believe you. And then they're doing it. It looks like they're doing it. They've been basically the $10 million guarantee. It's on for 2026 for injury. So if they're bluffing, God bless them. They belong on a riverboat somewhere because they're good. They should go to Vegas. And because they've got people convinced that they might actually do this thing with Kirk Cousins as the backup.
It's Armando Salguero with us, guys, from Outkick. You'll hear him on Fox News, senior NFL writer at Armando Salguero, by the way, for social media. And no, he did not steal Carson Beck's Lamborghini. All right, man, speaking of quarterbacks, what about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders? And where are they going? And we heard a lot of his misinformation or usual pre-draft nonsense. But do you think both those guys are off the board in the first five picks?
I think that Cam Ward is definitely off the board in the first pick, period. Huh. That's it. He's going to be the first pick overall. If not to the Tennessee Titans, it will be the Tennessee Titans. But if not to the Tennessee Titans, then they're going to sell the pick to the highest bidder. And why do we know this? Because the guys that come behind great, great prospects, Travis Hunter, a Heisman Trophy winner, Abdul Carter, a great edge rusher, you don't go in that direction unless the great edge rusher's name is Reggie White. You don't go with Travis Hunter unless you're drafting frickin' Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders combined. And with all respect to those two guys, they're not. And there's a lot of quarterback needy teams that come right behind, like the Giants, maybe even Cleveland, who might be willing to move up a spot or two and give up some draft resources. And they, and then the Titans could still get whoever it is they want that's not a quarterback. But I got to tell you, their situation with Will Levis, they're going to pick the quarterback.
Right.
Who do you think has a better chance to help a team this year, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
You know, the narrative with Aaron Rodgers is he sucks. And because the Jets suck, because they were terrible, because he's got this ego, because of the Aaron Rodgers experience. And then you turn on the tape, and suddenly, oh, he doesn't suck. He was coming back from an Achilles injury last year, and I believe he threw 28 touchdown passes. Mm. Are you aware that Patrick Mahomes threw 20? You look at how he played, he was pretty darn good. Now, obviously, the team around him and in parts and at times he were not good enough, and it was bad. But the whole narrative is the Jets were terrible, and so Aaron Rodgers was terrible, and Davante Adams was terrible. Davante Adams was not terrible. Davante Adams had 7 touchdown catches with the Jets in 11 games last year for 800 yards. For the 17-game season, he had over 1,000 yards. So something was going right, and Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams were part of that.
It is our man Armando Salguero, guys, catching up with him pre-draft. We've got about 5 weeks now before we get to the draft. We in Atlanta, we need defense. We like what we've got with Michael Penix Jr. Again, it was a long, strange trip, Armando, between the Kirk Cousins thing, which I thought was the dumbest thing in the whole wide world, just one or the other. You know, just trust your scouting, go with the young rookie quarterback. You see Jaden Daniels taking a step backwards, or do you believe the Commanders are going to just continue to build? Love the moves they've made in the offseason.
Right. So the Commanders, you look at those moves, and if you ask them that question, their answer is, oh, no, he's not stepping back for nothing. A second-year rookie quarterback typically improves. He doesn't go in the other direction. And so that's what they're expecting. That's why they've added weapons for him. That's why they've gotten him Deebo Samuel. That's why, you know, they are hoping. When you go to the NFC Championship game, and I realize they got blown out by the Philadelphia Eagles, but when you're there after only 1 year of building, it's not even a rebuild, it's a build. They've done a lot of things right, and they believe that they're going to continue to do a lot of things right.
Speaking of teams and quarterbacks with things to prove, the Colts are in a very interesting situation with Anthony Richardson bringing in Daniel Jones to compete for the starting job. You think this guy has a shot to make it in the NFL?
You know, Anthony Richardson's from Miami. So I'm very familiar with Anthony Richardson. I love him as a person, but Anthony Richardson's never been an accurate passer on any level, not in high school, not in college, and not obviously with the Colts. And that's troubling, and that's a rough look. And Daniel Jones is not a great NFL quarterback. You can argue he's not a good NFL quarterback, but he's a 60-plus percent passer, even in his roughest time. Whereas Anthony Richardson last year was a 47.9% completion percentage. There's a reason why the Colts are going, we don't know about this. And it's only been 2 years. They're basically, they're checking out on the guy after 2 years. So it's a rough look for Anthony Richardson. I love him, but struggles.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think you could look, and I made the argument he needed to stay another year with Billy Napier at Florida. I think Jalen Milroe needed to stay another year, maybe transfer to a program where they can really fine-tune his passing. But then he runs a 4.37, so it sounds to me like somebody's going to take a flyer. Maybe do you think Jalen Milroe goes in the first round, Armando?
No. No chance. if he does, something wrong, something amiss, something like someone lost their mind. Look, Jalen Milroe is a great, amazing, incredible athlete, right? He did. He ran, what was it, a 4.37 last?
Yeah, yeah.
Yesterday. Tom Brady ran a 5.28. Who cares if the quarterback is super fast or not? That doesn't mean he's going to be good. You got to be good to play quarterback. You don't have to be fast to play quarterback. You have to process. You have to know the defense. You have to know your offense. You have to have instinct. You have to have a little anticipation even. You can move around, yes, and that's great. If you move around in the pocket, that's good enough. Now, if you're I haven't seen the last time a quarterback needed to outrun a defensive back on third and 12. I just, no, I don't see that very often.
A team you're very familiar with, the Buffalo Bills, out there in the AFC East. Have they done enough so far this offseason? Will this finally be the year they could beat the Chiefs?
So, yeah, the Bills did some stuff they didn't have to do in the offseason. They paid Josh Allen again, and he still had several years. I think it was like 3 years or 4 years left on his contract, and they gave him a raise. And obviously, it helped them cap-wise, but it rewarded him for being the MVP. But honestly, that was a feel-good moment that doesn't help get you past the Kansas City Chiefs and into the Super Bowl. They went out and they added Joey Bosa as a pass rusher after they cut Von Miller. That's the Joey Bosa addition is their signature offseason move, I would say. And Joey Bosa, another South Florida guy. And once upon a time, Joey Bosa was a machine. He was amazing. But right. Joey Bosa has run into the injury, thing where every year for the last 3 years or so, he's been struggling with injuries. And you never see the real Joey Bosa on the field, even when he's on the field. So the Bills are hedging their bet and hoping that they see healthy Joey Bosa. If that's who shows up, they're going to be really good, and they're going to finally have that closer that they've been looking for late in games after Josh Allen gives them a lead. They can maybe hold it. But if it's, injury-prone Joey Bosa, it's the same thing as what they had with Von Miller.
Right. Hey, guys, coming up, we'll get your March Madness scoreboard update right now. We're talking with our man Armando Salguero down in South Florida about the NFL. We covered the Falcons. You can rewind on the Odyssey app, see what Armando had to say about Kirk Cousins. All right, Mike McDaniel, I call him Coach Bruh. Is he ever going to win a playoff game down there?
The Dolphins have a culture thing going on where, unfortunately for them, they feel country clubbish. They feel like... Here's the thing. Here's the problem with the Dolphins. So they started out terrible last year, and then they beat up on a bunch of pansies, and Mike McDaniel is in the locker room with the speech. Nobody thought you could do this. Nobody thought this could happen. Well, dude, no, you just beat a team with 3 wins, and it's week 10. So, yeah, everybody thought you could do it. What you really have to do is go and beat a winning team. And in the last couple of years, I think they're like 1-11 against teams that are playoff bound.
Right.
Yeah, or winning records. And so there's something to be said about knowing who you are. They are not a tough team. Tyreek Hill is their best player, right?
Right.
Arguably. He quit. he quit in the season finale against the Jets. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. Why? He didn't want to. And then what did he do? He said he wanted to go somewhere else. Now they've made up and all is well, except that those words are out there. I cannot unhear them. He said them. So what did he say? In times of adversity, I'm quitting. That's what I heard.
Thank you. I just wanted you. I loaded the question up, but yeah, yes, what Armando said. Hey, brother, we will hopefully catch up with you maybe right after the draft, see what happens, man. But thanks so much for the time today.
Always my pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.